That's all. Thank you very much. Very happy to be here in my spring suit. I swam down, and I'm very happy. Well, what a trick that weather played on me. Look at that. I looked outside and said, today's the day. A rat.
Well, I do want to thank you very much for that applause, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very happy to be here. I just finished doing one show for Lux. Well, I got through Lux, believe me. I finished doing a show with Crosby, the singer jockey. We just
ever had right there. Skinny's on his way to Santa Anita. It's going to be the big band. It's the Santa Anita Army Base. Let's give him a big hand. It's very awesome. Can you imagine they got him? Look at that. Boy, they're really getting down to the odds and ends, aren't they? He went down for his examination the other day, and the doctor says, take off your clothes and camper bag. And, Doc, I don't think I'll make it. I got bad eyes. Doctor says, look, we don't examine eyes anymore. We just count them now. Since you got bad eyes, we'll put you up way up front where you can see everything. Now we have... Anyway, we have kind of a long show, and we'll get right into it. We're loaded here tonight. Oh, my God. Should have a sling in my arm for this thing. And as I want to tell you, you know this is a regular preview show that we're doing tomorrow night at the San Diego Naval Hospital Base. For about 800 Red Cross nurses and waves and what else? What kind of work is it on there? Waves and nurses and what else? They're Red Cross. That's it, Red Cross. Anyway, there's 800 girls. It's going to be another whack show, I hope. They can't be that good anyway, but they'll be great, I know. Anyway, I want you to understand that because the script is all about the San Diego Hospital Base, so when we get to it, just imagine them. We're all in the hospital. No, that's not good. We won't.
For the safety of your smile, use Pepsodent twice a day. See your dentist twice a year. Again this week, the Pepsodent Company presents another series of broadcasts to our men in the armed forces throughout the United States. Tonight, playing for the women of the Navy at San Diego, the Pepsodent show starring Bob Hope and his special guest, Herbert Marshall. Yes,
ladies and gentlemen, this is Bob broadcasting for the Girls in Service Hope, telling you ladies whether you're called Mr. or Mrs., if you use Pepsodent, all you waves will have plenty of white caps in your kisses. Or, this is Bob broadcasting for the Naval Bay Hospital in San Diego, Hope, telling you girls to use Pepsodent, and whether you're a wave or a nurse, you won't have to keep your uppers in a purse. Well, they told me I was going to play before an all-girl audience, so I flew down here. I don't know whether I was excited or not, but I'm the only guy that ever flew to San Diego and got here 10 minutes before the plane. They told me these were the girls that take care of our boys, so I rushed right down here, but I found out you got to be sick first. I got a wonderful reception when I arrived here. The girls made a dash for me and crowded all around me. You know, that was a good idea, walking in with that nylon stocking hanging from my nose. But these girls, these waves and Red Cross nurses are wonderful. I never thought I'd see the day when 500 women are happy about wearing the same kind of hat. Let me take you to San Diego with me. You want to go? I got a tandem bicycle. You want to go? You all know what waves are. Those are sailors who go down to the sea and slip. A lot of naval bases before, but this is the first time I ever felt like whistling at an ensign. My cousin Eleanor is a wave, and she volunteered to become a pharmacist mate. She thought it meant the Navy was going to get her a husband with a drugstore. You should see these Navy nurses here. You know what a Navy nurse is? That's a girl who holds a sailor's hand and strokes his forehead and expects the temperature to go down. All these Navy nurses are very serious about their work. I saw one nurse busy testing thermometer after thermometer. Luckily, I got the skinny in it, just as he was shaking it for the third time. And some of the nurses are a little green. One of them treated a sailor for a fractured skull for 3 months before she found out it was a Navy haircut. And these nurses down here are so pretty. One guy down here tried to develop a fever by sitting on an electric heating pad all day. And I don't know whether the pad is on full force or not, but I'm now wearing a zoot suit with a hot squat. The most interesting kind of assignment for these girls is to be stationed on a hospital ship. A hospital ship is 12 nurses abroad. I mean aboard. Greeley Esquire with a rudder. And the nurses on a hospital ship have their own quarters just aft of the bridge, and the sailors respect their neutrality. Of course, sometimes they have their telescopes pointed in the wrong direction. Are these hospitalized sailors lucky to have a pretty Red Cross worker to play cards with and read to them? I sneaked into a hospital bed and held one's hand for 4 hours, making her explain to me why Mickey Mouse and Dick Tracy could never get married. And you know how these nurses hold your wrist to take your temperature? Well, I was out with one last night, and she broke mine. Skinny Ennis is very popular with the nurses in training here. He attended their anatomy class yesterday. He was guest skeleton. The hotels are awfully crowded, and Skinny Ennis had to sleep in a bed at the hospital last night. A nurse saw him, and it took us 4 hours today to dig him up again. Well, we had a nice trip down here today. We came down by bus, and I mean by bus. We ran alongside of it and pushed. I was going to drive Vera Vague and Francis Langford down here in my car, but I decided my tires were too thin, so I gave them their money back. We came down in the Greyhound. Every time we stopped for a red light, it sat down and scratched itself. But they gave me a nice cool seat up front, and after a while I got used to the fan belt slapping me in the teeth. You sure you're laughing at this show? Don't leave, for God's sake. This script. Anyway, we had a nice bus ride. The driver of the bus made a lot of money on the side, smuggling civilians into San Diego. And that bus really bounced around. The back five sailors shot craps for 25 miles without touching the dice. Every once in a while, we heard a loud thump on the roof. We couldn't understand what it was. Then we found out the Jeeps were using it for a landing field. The trombone player leaned out of the window just as we entered a tunnel, and he didn't pull his head in quick enough. He's the only guy I know who breathes through his shoulders now. And we ran out of gas, so the musicians poured a quart of Four Roses in the tank. I don't know if that affected the bus very much, but 10 minutes later, we shot down over Albuquerque for picking a fight with a flying fortress. And we stopped by the roadside for a little picnic lunch. Picnic, that's a commando raid with mayonnaise, and we wanted a nice secluded spot for our picnic. We wanted a nice secluded spot for our picnic this year, so we went to a gas station, and we had a wonderful picnic, and gee, everything was really modern. The ants crawled into our ham sandwiches carrying meat ration cards. And when they spread that lunch, you should have seen the way those guys grabbed for sandwiches. They almost tore my pockets off. Almost tore my pockets off. With those there.
Did you leave me on that joke?
And with those musicians hungry, Frances Langford put the sandwiches on a tablecloth and she yelled, "Come and get it." I reached out my hand and now I haven't got it. The trombone player got very excited when he saw some real fresh meat. In fact, he got so excited it took four of us to pull him back out of the gopher hole. You should have seen those musicians eat. They ate cheese sandwiches till the cows came home, then they had roast beef. We had paper plates so we didn't have to wash them afterwards. We didn't have to wash them because the musicians ate them. Those musicians really made the food disappear. A vulture flew by, took a look at him, and said, "How do you get into that union?" Maybe Skinny's musicians aren't big eaters, but when the picnic was over, the place where the tablecloth had been spread looked like a bomb crater. They down in the morning. They had a softball game between the fellas and the girls. I played, but I had to quit when I slid in the home and tore my bloomers. We had a lot of fun. We spied two rabbits in the woods, so the musicians, the entire cast, crept up on them and surrounded them. 10 minutes later, they surrounded us. There was a cow in the next pasture, so we all got 10 cups and formed in a single file behind her. The cow turned around, took one look at us, and said, "Egad, an assembly line here, too." We didn't have a pail, so we milked the cow into the tuba. And we poured it out in the glasses, but we must have left some of it inside the tuba when the band rehearsed. It was the first time anyone ever played black magic and made cottage cheese at the same time. And here's Frances Langford, ladies and gentlemen. Most romantic stars, Mr. Herbert Marshall.
Thanks loads for the introduction, old chap.
Well, get a good look at him, girls. Here he is, the English Bob Hope.
Bob, please, don't compare us with each other.
Why not? We're both suave, we're both favorites with the ladies, and we're both handsome, aren't we? I said we're both handsome, aren't we? Well, aren't we?
Yes, we certainly are. Forgive me, girls. I need the $64 badly.
Wait a minute, Marshall. Being handsome isn't everything. Some people got lots of good looks, and some people got lots of brains. It's a shame I didn't have a ration card for either of them. Now, let's stop being petty and talk about intellectual things. Have you seen any of my pictures lately?
Sorry, Bob. I've been quite busy lately. I don't get down to those penny arcades anymore. Oh, I'm sorry. I've insulted you again, Bob. Let's not quarrel. Let's be friends.
Okay, let's be friends. You know, old pal, I saw your latest picture, The Moon and the Sixpence.
Well, Well, old pal, I saw your latest picture. They got me covered.
I thought The Moon of Sixpence was a very excellent picture, old pal.
And I thought They Got Me Covered was a very excellent picture, old pal.
What I enjoyed most about your picture was your most magnificent performance. You're a great actor, old pal.
That was a short friendship, wasn't it? No, but seriously, Bob, I think you're a great guy, a grand comedian, a romantic star, a handsome he-man, and a wonderful actor.
Oh, please, Bart, old man, no compliments. What are compliments but empty phrases?
You're right, Bob. They're hardly worth the paper you wrote them on.
But kidding aside, that's me, Herbert.
Yeah.
I really did see your last picture, The Moon and the Sixpence.
Yes, that title applies to guest stars on this program.
What do you mean?
You promised them the moon, and they wind up with sixpence.
Sixpence, nothing. You're an Englishman, so I'm paying you off in pounds.
Pounds?
Yes.
Bob, I don't want you to go to all the trouble of weighing that fifth of them.
But tell me, how do you feel about appearing in this program, Herbert?
Like everyone else, Bob, I'm just wondering.
Wondering?
Yes. Can they convict you for shooting your agent?
No, I think they give you a bounty. By the way, Herbert, you're not the only English star that's appeared on this show. A couple of weeks ago, Merle Oberon was on our program, too.
Oh, yes, Bob. And when she heard I was coming on your show, Merle telephoned me and gave me some advice.
She did?
Yes, but after all, I'm a man. I don't need a policeman along to protect me.
How can you say that, Herbert? I acted like a perfect gentleman with Merle Oberon. Why, I took her home, and when we got out of the taxi cab, I didn't even try to kiss her.
You didn't? Why not?
She was too busy paying the fare.
Now, Bob, I think that was unfair of you, telling Merle Oberon that she had to kiss you because she was English and you were American.
Yeah, and you know, I had a tough time convincing her that that was a new Lend-Lease deal. But you know, Bart, I was born in England. Ah, England, what tender memories. It was there I met my first sweetheart. I met her when I walked over to a group of girls standing on a famous street corner in London.
Piccadilly?
I'll say I did. I put that joke in for my kiddie listeners. Why shouldn't they suffer as much as the grown-ups?
Bob, you mean grown-ups listen to this program, too?
Listen, this program is very well liked. Why, when they heard I was coming to San Diego, they gave me a police escort all the way down.
Yes, Bob, I know you had a police escort on the trip. It was clever of you to tell them you were carrying a pound of steak. Gosh, the meat situation is really serious, isn't it?
Yeah, people will eat anything they can get. In fact, the canary at my house keeps pacing up and down in his cage with one eye on the cook muttering, "This may be the day, this may be the day." Say, how do you like broadcasting here before the Navy nurses and the waves and the Red Cross workers?
Wonderful. They're all very lovely girls, Bob. Tell me, where do you find such pretty girls?
That's what I keep asking them down at the recruiting office.
And what do they say?
They just shake their heads and say, "Go set your own traps." Silly, as though I've used traps to get girls, not as long as I got my trusted lasso.
You know, Bob, you aren't at all suave in your romantic technique. But in the way I envy you, I'm tired of the old methods of making love to a girl. Tipping your hat on the street, introducing yourself, bringing presents and all that rot. All you do is go like this. Can't do it. And the bronze fall in your arms.
Yes, that's right.
It'll be there tomorrow. Yeah, I tell you, Bob, you're becoming known as the Henry Kaiser of Hollywood Boulevard.
Gosh, Marsh, I wish you could help me with the women, though.
Well, the girls like good-looking men, and there are lots of ways for men to appear handsome. Some men look handsome if they wear the right clothes. Some men seem good-looking if they're nice and tan. And some men can become handsome through plastic surgery.
Well, how can I get the girls to think I'm handsome?
Have you tried that old black magic?
Well, gee, I wish you'd give me more romantic advice, Herbert. Say, wait a minute, just how should I address you?
Oh, it doesn't really matter. You can call me Herb or Bert or Marsh or Bart or Herbert.
Gosh, that's quite an assortment. Well, I also have lots of names that you can call me, but you better wait till we're off the air before we use them. I suppose you continue with the romantic advice, Mr. Fairfax.
Well, you must be very smooth and suave, Bob.
I'm not smooth and suave.
No, you're not. You're much too rough. For example, when They Got Me Covered, when you made those love scenes with Dorothy Lamour, you crushed her so hard you broke six of her ribs.
I did not break six of her ribs. That's a lie. I saw the x-rays myself, and I only broke five.
That's what I mean, Bob. That's too many. Pa is three. You don't take women seriously, do you, Bob?
Women? Women are just playthings. That's all, playthings.
And the trouble with you is you don't know where life begins and the yo-yo ends.
Gosh, I'm pretty much of a social failure.
Yes, Bob. There's one more thing I think you should know, though. When you're invited to dinner, you're supposed to come in, bid the host good evening, and then chat politely until dinner is announced.
I should bid the host good evening, then chat politely until dinner is announced?
Yes. Don't wave a mess kit in his face and he'll shoot the grub to me, Bob.
Look, Herbert, don't change the subject to food. We were talking about romantic techniques. And frankly, I don't think mine is so bad. Listen, let's see whose technique is really better. Suppose you imitate me calling on a girl, and I'll show my impression of you calling on a girl.
Okay, you start, Bob. Show the folks your impression of me calling on a girl.
All right, Skinny, some mood music. Another day, another beautiful woman to call on. These social obligations weary me so, I can't understand why they're so boring. Life is never like this in Esquire. Ah, this is the domicile of my inamorata. Inamorata? Inamorata? That's Latin for she cooks on all burners. Well, I'll ring the bell. Must have new batteries.
Yours?
Oh, my good man, pray announce me to Miss Francine.
Very good, sir.
Jive, is that my guest? I'll be down directly.
Very good, miss. But if I may say so, miss.
Yes, sir.
You'll be sorry.
Oh, there you are, Francine.
Herbert, how are you?
Oh, pip, pip, cheerio, and all that sort of rot.
How is your family, your brothers, and all that sort of rot?
They're ripping cap holes. Simply jolly, don't you know? Simply bloody jolly raffles, every one of them, don't you know?
I pity them to ham it up, but this is ridiculous.
Well, do come inside, Herbert.
I shall, my sweet. Good to see you, my dear. First decent thing that has happened to me in this deucedly wretched day.
Well, cheer up. Don't take things so hard, stout fellow. And I do mean stout fellow. Just be happy and keep a stiff upper lip.
I can't. My nose keeps stabbing it.
Is that a walking stick?
No, we have to carry it. Oh, we have to carry it. Beastly clever, no?
Yes, beastly. How do you like the way I'm dressed, Herbert?
Marvelous, Francie, marvelous. That's a lovely corsage you're wearing. What is it?
The T-bone from the steak we had for dinner last night. But I'm so happy to have you with me, Herbert. Come. I shall kiss you.
Come, come, my dear. You know how I hate such vulgar exhibitions. You may hold my hand, but do not kiss me. Such vulgarity nauseates me.
Kissing nauseates you? Well, then you've spent two-thirds of your life trying to get seasick.
Francis, stay in character. Remember, I'm supposed to be Herbert Marshall. Stretch your imagination a little, will you? What was that?
My imagination. Stretch it too far. What was that?
My girdle just joined your imagination. I say, Francine, what should we do this evening?
Shall we go to the opera?
Horrors, no. Tonight it's the Barber of Seville, and you know the odor of bay rum always makes me sick. Besides, I went to the opera only last night with Hedy Lamarr.
Oh, you're always pretending you go out with Hedy Lamarr.
What do you mean, pretending? My dear, in real life, I talk to Hedy Lamarr on the phone every single day. Oh, she's such a monotonous bore. She always says the same thing. No. But never mind, Hedy. It is you I want. Ah, my dear, you are the apotheosis of beauty. You... Apiola, the thing. Apotheosis, we like, don't we, Sam? Apotheosis, we decided, huh? Your figure is of that classic mold that inspired the Parthenon and the Acropolis of ancient Athens. You are the quintessence of Pocatru.
Oh, Herbert, kiss me. Where are you going?
Get a dictionary. I want to find out what I said.
Oh, Herbert, come back here.
All right, dearest. You know, you're so alluring, so inviting. Please let me kiss you as you should be kissed, please.
Yes, you may. Darling! How thrilling!
Yes, I know. Now may I kiss your other hand?
Yes, Herbert. You may kiss my hand.
Come, come. Let's not give way to our baser emotions. I tell you what, my dear, you may kiss me, but just my fingertips.
All right. Ah, Herbert, all the girls love to kiss you, even though it's just your fingertips.
No wonder before I leave home, I run my hand through the meat gravy.
How do you like this gown, Herbert?
Oh, it's a little daring.
You're being silly.
I ought to know. It's me. It's daring.
Have you been doing anything exciting, Herbert?
Oh, I took up a new hobby. I've been collecting stamps.
Oh, that makes you a philatelist. Philatelist.
Hmm?
That makes you a philatelist.
It does?
Yes.
Really? Think I should notify my draft board? Now, really, old thing, I must be leaving, but before I go, I should give you one of our famous English kisses, suave, reserved, typically English. Come here. How was that?
You know, there must be English dead in kids, too.
Bob, is that your idea of me calling on my girl?
That's right, Herbert. Now, suppose you show the folks how I call on my girlfriend.
Okay, Bob, I'll call for her. Which laundry is she working at?
Ladies and gentlemen, in the next scene, Herbert Marshall will give his impression of Bob Hope calling on a girl.
Well, here I am, the one and only Bob Hope, waiting to call on my girl. What a break for her. Gee, I got to get all prepared. There, I got my wallet all loaded with fen-fen. Now I got everything for the perfect romantic evening. My Esquire, my yo-yo, and my ukulele. And I got on my patent purple oilcloth bow tie. I'll just pull it out to see if the elastic has any snap left. Maybe my Adam's apple will look better in the back of my neck. Now let me see how I look in the mirror. Oh, gee. I've had it for 45 years and I still can't get used to this nose.
Wait a minute.
Stop ad-libbing. And anyway, what's wrong with my nose?
Nothing, nothing. But if you could take it to a butcher shop and you could start a black market. And so, back into character. Oh, there's my girlfriend now. I wonder if she recognizes me. I'll speak to her.
Well, if it isn't Bob Hope. I couldn't place your face, but your howl is familiar.
You, Francis, what are you doing upstairs? Don't hurry, I'll wait.
I'm coming right down.
High transom, isn't it?
Hello, Bob.
Hiya, babe. This is Bob. You want a neck? Hope telling you to use Sepsodent or your teeth will never loop the loop when they troop in your coop in a group and group as they troop in the coop.
Like that, no wonder they tune in Raymond Grand Swing.
Francis, it's very good to see you again. You're looking very pretty tonight.
Why, what's the matter with you, Bob Hope? You're talking as though your mouth were all puckered up.
Listen, sir, your mouth would be puckered up if you were siphoning gas all day. Say, I heard a funny joke today. Did you hear about the wave that married Old Man River?
Why, no, what about the wave that married Old Man River?
The wedding made a big splash, and now they got three little drips. Hey, look what I got for you.
Oh, why, Bob, you brought me a present.
Yeah, kid, look. A whole stick of bubble gum for the two of us. for the two of us.
Sir. Only one stick of chewing gum for the two of us?
Yep, but I'm going to be fair about it. I'll chew it and you can bust the bubble.
You think I can sue him for libel?
Come on, babe, let's go in the parlor and sit on the sofa.
Well, before we go in the parlor, I'll have to tell my father you're here. Oh, Father, Bob Hope is here.
Yeah, didn't hear you.
Bob Hope is here.
Yeah, I didn't hear you.
I said I'm going in the parlor with Bob Hope. He heard me.
Come on, now, let's get into the parlor. I'll open the door with my left hand. Now, Fanny, do you mind if I put my left hand around you?
What about the right hand?
I got to keep my yo-yo going, don't I? Hey, look, Francis, I brought you another present.
Why, this is lovely, Bob. This candy box must have cost at least $5 when it had candy in it.
What do you say? Let's neck, huh? Come on, kid, let's neck.
Okay.
Huh. Say, you do get better results this way. Go on. How about another? Come on, let's neck. Let's neck.
Hey, Marshall, who are you imitating, me or a commando?
Come on, Francis, I want you to kiss me again.
No, I won't.
Gee, what a cat he is.
Listen, Francis, my proud beauty. Before you refuse me that kiss, I want to remind you that I'm the boss of the Pepsodent show, and I can fire you if I want to.
Gee, what a... Why didn't I think of that?
Say, tell me, how are you getting along with the glamour girl?
Oh, you know, the same as usual. First, Hilda Lamar wants to kiss me, then Madeline Carroll wants to kiss me, then Ann Sheridan wants to kiss me. Then the dandelion clock goes off and wakes me up.
Bob, let's go out for a good time tonight. Let's go to the Rum Boogie, then the Palladium, then to Macombo's, then to Cyril's.
Gee, Francis, isn't that a little silly, spending a whole allowance in one night? Just stay here. Oh, gee, you're wonderful. You're beautiful. You're gorgeous.
Bob, put that copy of Esquire down.
Okay. But how about playing Spin the Bottle?
But they're just the two of us. We'd only be able to kiss each other.
Delightful rut, isn't it? Come on, Francis. Let's smooch. Let's wrestle.
You can't tell me he just picked up that line tonight.
You know, Fran, you're wonderful, kid.
You think so?
Yeah, you send me.
Well, why don't you go?
I tell you what. How about you and me doing something exciting tonight? Something romantic, something daring, something thrilling. Let's go down to the butcher's and watch some grime hamburgers. Come on, chicken, let's get chicken. I got jive dust on my jangled soul. I got jive dust on my jangled salad. And I'm breaking through with a mooly moo. Dig me, kid, dig me.
Wait a minute. What's cooking?
Chicken. You want a neck?
Oh, Robert, you're as sharp as a tack.
Yeah, I'm as sharp as a tack, but I got a good head on me, if you get the point. Hey, kid, how about getting hitched up?
Hitched up? You mean married?
Well, you don't think I want you to pull a dog sled. Go on, let's get married.
But I haven't got a trousseau.
Trousseau, schmousseau. Just press your Las Vegas flat.
Why do I love you?
They all love Bob. I got something.
What?
A pound of butter.
Hello, daughter. What's that with you?
I'm Bob Hope.
He really isn't Bob Hope, Father. He's Herbert Marshall. He's just pretending to be Bob Hope.
What you want to do that for, Mr. Marshall?
Well, I'm pretending I'm Bob Hope instead of Herbert Marshall because I think I'll be able to get the girls easier that way.
Oh, Father, you killed him. You killed him.
Don't cry, daughter. He's better off this way.
He's a very clever chap who makes the roses bloom, sprinkles them with such a rare perfume. He's a very happy boy who passes out the joy. Oh man, romance is his name. He's the man behind the boy who always gets the girl. He got the other fellows in a whirl. He puts rainbows in the sky and moonbeams in your eyes. Oh man, romance is his name. He's a merry old guy with a twinkle in his eye who's near everything in the park. He's a very gay blade with a fellow and a maid. He does his best work after dark. He's a very handy gent at hanging out in moon, writing lyrics to a lover's tune. He makes stardust out of rain, a fair in lover's lane. Old man romance is his name.
Fine.
And how are you?
I'm fine.
That's fine. Fine.
How's the folks, all right?
They're fine.
Fine.
Fine. How are your folks?
Fine.
That's fine.
Fine. How's
crazy,
folks,
isn't he?
Down?
Oh, the stop flooding.
Stop flooding. How come?
No snow.
Don't shoot the
hook.
So we'd be still even alive unless I found you.
Thank you, music lovers. Now for my next number. Paquita, Paquita, Dalita.
He was a handsome young Irish lad, and she was a Mexican beauty. It was fiesta, and I might add, romantically he was on a duty. A boy and a girl, neither the satars. I can tell it in the thickest of tea for a when he saw the Rose of Juarez. Conchita, Marquita, Dalita, Pepita, Rosita, Juanita, Lopez. Oh, you're a lovely single, for me there's but one girl, he says. Conchita, Marquita, Dalita, Pepita, Rosita, Juanita, Lopez. Mandarin was there to play, and her lips were there to kiss. As they danced, I heard him say, New Jersey was never like this. The bells began to ring, and they rode away on a mule. To prove I'm not joking, if you're in Hoboken, drop in for a minute and you'll meet Conchita, Marquita, Dalita, Pepita, Rosita, Juanita, or two. Yes, he won her heart one night with the serenade beneath the moonlight. I could have been a second to murder the lack of my friends, the corridor of the vine. Bella passione, bella passione. Could have been a second to murder the lack of my friends, the corridor of the vine. Bella passione. I'm not joking. If you're in Hoboken, drop in for a minute and you'll meet Conchita, Conchita, Lambita, hip, hip, dear, 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 Rita, Juanita, Hoto.
Trombone? Huh? I'd like to have you hear Jerry's slide, slither, trombone.
Mustache drag.
Weedies.
week, ladies and gentlemen, Bob Hope is again in San Diego, where he has often broadcast for our forces before. In fact, Bob has visited San Diego so often, the town has run out of tar and feathers. When the word gets around... Wait. When the word gets around that a great celebrity has arrived, thousands of enthusiastic people gather in front of the city hall and cheer wildly as Bob addresses them.
Hello, everybody. Me very happy to be here.
Hey, Bob. You better take off that kimono. These people are going to be awful mad when they find out you're not Madam Chiang Kai-shek.
When the news leaked out that Bob Hope is going to put on his radio show for the Waves and Navy Nurses of San Diego, it causes great excitement at their camp. Here we find two of the nurses excitedly discussing the event.
Sadie, did you hear? Bob Hope's coming to camp to entertain us.
Yes, yeah, Sophie, I heard. Ain't war terrible?
San Diego is crowded with servicemen and war workers. In fact, the city is so congested, even Skinny Ennis had trouble. The other day he played with the dog, and the dog had to carry Skinny to Tijuana before he could find a place to bury him. Bob finds San Diego so crowded that the only way to get a room in a hotel is to open one of your own. So he opens the beautiful Hotel del San Diego del Vista del Coronado del Española, which is Spanish for don't wash your laundry in the lobby. And now we find Bob Hope behind the desk on his first day as a hotel manager.
Hello. Sorry. Hello, Bob Hope's Hotel, the hotel that has absolutely everything, but we're getting a can of flip tomorrow. Hello, you say you've got two complaints? The first one is you can't sleep because the woman in the next room is always singing. What's your other complaint?
Give me a room quick.
Sign here and take room 048.
Okay. I had a nice rest. Here's my rent. Here's my key. Goodbye.
You know, it's a pleasure doing business with that Henry J. Kaiser. From the inside of the room. See, people are checking in so fast, the luggage is piling up in the lobby. I wonder where Bellhop Cologne is. Cologne, Cologne! 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 Hello?
What do you want? Hey, I'll be a little late for work, Hope. I'm down here at the burlesque show.
Well, that's fine. You're supposed to be working. You're down at the burlesque show. I'm surprised you even took time out to phone me.
Oh, I'm not missing anything, Hope. Booth has a glass door.
Colonna, you're a monkey's uncle.
What's the idea of calling me a monkey's uncle? Have you ever seen my nephew?
Yes, I've seen your nephew.
Isn't it amazing how he flees through the trees with a tail?
There goes that guy in 311. Oh, Mr. Gelp, Mr. Gelp.
Yes, what is it?
I'll thank you to get that girl out of your room.
That girl happens to be my wife, and I'll thank you if you can get her out.
Hello, Hope's Hotel. You sleep while we peep.
Hey, Bob, there's a mouse in my room.
Skinny, I'm busy. Just throw the mouse out the door and don't bother me.
Okay, I'll throw him out. Come on, you. Out you go.
Bellhop Kelowna got here yet? Front? Well, Kelowna, what are you waiting for?
Take it front.
Come here at once, Kelowna.
He wouldn't even a second, Hope. I have to try to carry 10 pieces of luggage through this revolving door. It's going to be a tight squeeze. Here I go. Oh. Oh, well, the lobby needed ventilation. Say, Hope, somebody just stole all the money out of the safe.
They stole all the money out of the safe? Well, don't worry about it, Kelowna. I marked down the serial numbers and nobody can spend that money.
They can't?
No.
I didn't really want to go to Mexico anyway.
And a little while ago, there were $14 worth of nickels in this drawer.
You seem to suspect me. Well, I'll show you where I haven't got the nickels. I'll empty my pockets. I've been framed. I've been framed. I had them in my other pants. I tell you, I'm innocent, Hope.
Well, if you're innocent, Suppose you jump up and down to prove that you have none of the missing change on you.
Very practical suggestion. Here I go. Loose fittings in my teeth. Okay, I'll admit it. Okay, I'll admit it. I am a thief.
Colonna, why do you steal the money and then squeal on yourself?
Manpower shortage. No stool pigeons around. but I'm sorry if I do such things, Hope. You see, it's just because of conditions at home. I've got a wife, 10 children, an invalid aunt. My uncle has a broken leg. My niece is having a baby. My brother may go to jail. They're going to foreclose the mortgage in the old homestead.
Oh, gee, Colonna, that's a very sad story.
I know. I cried and cried when I heard it on One Man's Family.
Well, it's very vague, isn't it?
Well, what a lovely hotel you have here, Mr. Hope. I'd like a room.
Oh, that's fine, Miss Vague. Did you bring any luggage besides yourself?
Oh, you dear boy. For you down here in the dim out zone. It gives your body a chance to join your brain.
What are you doing in San Diego? Was that Norman? What are you doing in San Diego, Miss Vague?
Me? I got a new job in a defense plant. I'm working as welder at Consolidated Aviation. That is, I'm an assistant welder. A man does the heavy work, and I carry the torch for him.
Well, how do you like welding?
Oh, wonderful. But carrying a blowtorch has its bad points, too. Yesterday, my boyfriend tried to kiss me, and he forgot I was carrying my blowtorch.
Did it hurt him much?
Oh, no, he seemed to be all right when the 4th Interceptor Command brought him down over Long Beach. But it's wonderful working in an airplane factory, but yesterday, a horrible thing happened. Me and the handsome foreman were welded up inside of a fuselage of an airplane.
You and the handsome foreman were welded up inside an airplane? Gee, that must have been terrible.
Oh, yes, it was awful. Isn't this a silly program? But anyway, this is a lovely hotel. Can I get some accommodations?
Well, here you are, Miss Blake. Just sign the registers.
Oh, very well. Oh, my, I see Hedy Lamarr's name in here, and Madeline Carroll, and Lana Turner. Are they all staying at this hotel?
No, that's camouflage. You'd be surprised how many sailors I get in here this way. Let's see if you signed the register properly. Miss Vervaig, Granite 1586. Gosh, Miss Vervaig, why did you put your telephone number in here? Sailors and soldiers and Marines are always signing this register, and they'll see it and keep calling you up for dates. Oh.
It takes him a little time, but he finally catches up to us, doesn't he? I tell you, I think I'll stay at your hotel several days, Mr. Hope. I'd like the bridal suite, please.
The bridal suite? But, Miss Vague, you're not married.
Well, goodness, a girl can dream, can't she? I'll tell you a little secret, Mr. Hope. I'm looking around for a husband.
No. I'll tell you a little secret, Miss Vague. The Russians are fighting the Germans.
Clever boy. San Diego has so much trouble, doesn't it? No sooner does the fog go out than you come in.
Oh, pardon me, Miss Vague.
Yes.
Hello, Hope's Hotel. You'll stop at our hotel if you're wise or crafty. All our rooms are 4F, so they can't be drafty.
Mr. Hope, this is Mrs. Smith Whippen in room 409. I'm taking a bubble bath, and I think there's a man peeking in the transom.
A man peeking in the transom? We'll just throw a handful of suds over the top.
All right, I'll try that.
Wet day, isn't it?
Colonna, you haven't got the brains you were born with. You hear me? You haven't got the brains you were born with.
Daddy, suppose someone's been siphoning?
Colonna, come here and get Miss Vague's baggage.
I'll be with you in a minute, Hope. I'm upstairs.
You're upstairs. What's going on up there?
I don't know. All the keyholes have keys in them.
You know, you're nothing but a peeping Tom.
Look who's calling me a peeping Tom. Fransom Harry. I'll be right there in a minute, Hope. I'm up here in the Smith's room. Mrs. Smith is sitting on my lap.
Well, and Mrs. Smith is sitting on your lap?
Yes. Oops, I think I hear Mrs. Smith coming. Wouldn't believe I was Edgar Bergen.
Colonna, come down here once. I want you to carry Miss Vague's luggage in.
I'll be right down, Hope. I'm carrying this piano upstairs to the ballroom.
Be careful with that piano, Colonna. It's a very valuable instrument.
Nothing to worry about, Hope. I'm almost to the top of the stairs now. Well. Yeah, Order a Toothpick by Steinway?
Oh, I'm sorry to keep you waiting, Miss Vane.
Yes, come now, Mr. Hope. I want a room.
Single?
Oh, who are you, darling? Is this a proposal?
Why should I break a 50-year record?
You know, I'd walk out of here, but it's so difficult to find a nice room in San Diego. The city's so crowded. You know, in the last year, the population has tripled.
They must have put Crosby Stork in the swing chair. Well, here's your key. You know, this is a nice room with a bath.
Oh, I would like a bath. There's nothing like a bath to make you feel fresh and clean. Don't you think so?
Yeah, especially if you soap under the... Yeah, that's right.
Nothing like a bath to make you feel fresh and clean.
It's
don't
so nice
think
to
so?
Give you another chance. You got you. Bless your straight line. Bless you.
What is this?
Can we try the whole thing? Yeah, let's try it.
I really would like a bath. There's nothing like a bath to make you feel fresh and clean, don't you think so?
This has got to lay a big egg now. You know what? It's Norman's baseball hat. I know it, isn't it? I love that seat outside. Nothing like a bath. What'd you say? Let's try it again,
I almost need a bath. Now. There's nothing like a bath to make you feel fresh and clean. Don't you think so?
Yes, especially if you soap yourself under the bathing suit, too.
Hotel, I'll recommend it to my girlfriend. She's going on her honeymoon next week. Will you have accommodations for five?
Wait a minute. Is she gonna have five people on her honeymoon?
Oh, yes. Her boyfriend's in 1A and his draft board follows him everywhere. Oh, say, that reminds me. I want you to mail this letter to my soldier boyfriend. Oh, I'm afraid he won't get it, though. They transfer him around so much.
Oh, he'll get it. I'll just write the word forward on the envelope.
Oh, don't bother. He'll find that out when he reads the letter.
Well, I'll have your bags taken right up, Miss Vague. Here comes Kelowna now.
Hey, ho! Somebody just kissed all the chambermaids on the first floor and all the chambermaids on the third floor and the fifth floor.
Somebody kissed all the chambermaids on the first, third, and fifth floors. What about the floors in between?
Now, Hope, I know Superman.
Kelowna, I'm ashamed of you. Is this the boy your mother brought up with such tender care in a good home?
No, this is the boy she left on the steps of the reform school in an old basket.
Well, listen, Professor, I've been checking up on you. I found out that for the past 3 months, you've been carrying on a romance with the downstairs maid and the upstairs maid. Have you got anything to say?
Yes. My feet are killing me.
You need help.
Don't worry, madam. I'm very strong. I've got the strength of six men. Watch me lift it. Five of them got drafted.
Well, get busy. Take Miss Vague's trunk upstairs, will you?
All right. I'll shove it in the elevator. Silly bee. The elevator's up on the fourth floor.
Bob, nice hotel you got here. I'd like to check in.
Oh, well, tell me, Mr. Marshall, which would you prefer, a tub or a shower?
A tub.
Good. We'll give you a tub now, and maybe next week we'll find a room to put you in.
Oh, goodness, it's Herbert Marshall. Please go away, Mr. Hope, so I can be alone with him.
Oh, women are all the same. Right after I gave my girl a bottle of Chanel No. 5, she told me she never wanted me around her again.
Guess the Comcast was too much for her. Hope, introduce me to Herbert Marshall.
Okay, Herbert, this is Vera Vane.
Hello, Mr. Marshall.
Why, Miss Vague, you're absolutely stunning. You're gorgeous. You're beautiful.
Are you talking to me?
Of course I am. Miss Vague, you're the most beautiful girl I've ever seen.
Well, I can't understand why you nurses are sitting there. This poor man's delirious.
I'm not kidding, Miss Vane. I really like you.
Oh, well, I think you're nice, too, my little buddy boy.
What about me, Miss Vague?
Oh, quiet, only a Marjorie.
I don't see why you like him so much, Miss Vague. What has Herbert Marshall got that I haven't got?
Goodness, what a beautiful opportunity to talk myself right out of my job. You know, Mr. Marshall, I'm looking for a husband. Wouldn't it be nice living in a vine-covered cottage, just you like.
You might make an attractive wife at that. There's no denying you do have certain charms.
Say, stop dangling your food ration book in his face.
Mr. Marshall, don't pay any attention to Bazooka Beach. You know, you're really my secret passion. Would you like to kiss me?
Please, madam, not so fast. What's your hurry?
Well, Mr. Marshall, you see, I'm not as young as I used to be, and now that I've suddenly found a man who looks like $1 million, I want to get to it before the bank closes. I just want to be near you. I just want to be with you. I don't want to be alone.
Mr. Hope, who is this impetuous creature?
Why, that's Vera Vague. Who did you think it was?
Greta Garbo with vitamins.
Mr. Marshall, you've always been my dream man. I think you're wonderful.
I think you're wonderful, too. Can't we go someplace where you can be alone?
Oh, pardon me. Hello?
Hello now. Listen, Hope, I'm up here in my room.
What, have you got a date? Where the hell are you trying to get to, brother?
Listen, Hope, I'm up here in my room. I need some help. A girl is pounding at my door. Something terrible. She's trying to break it down.
I'll stop that clone. I promise you she won't get in.
Trying to get in. Say, Hope, great news. That peeping Tom was just bothering the guest who's been caught. He climbed up on a chair to look into what's happened, and one of the bellhops saw him and pulled the chair away, and now he's trapped hanging in midair.
Oh, that's well, Kelowna. Shall I bring the police?
Please, nothing. Bring me a ladder so I can get down.
Kelowna, why must you be as stupid as a jackass?
Well, it's your program. I can't be smarter than my boss.
Kelowna, Mr. Marshall's waiting to go to his room. Bring down the elevator.
Sit right down, boss. This is a fine elevator, even if it hasn't got any cables.
Kelowna, how can you run the elevator up and down the shaft without cables?
Inside, a Jeep.
Look, what's the difference between you and an idiot?
Well, for one thing, you don't have a mustache.
Kelowna, bring down the elevator and be sure you don't go past this floor to the basement.
Okay, I'll show you what a good elevator operator I am. I'll stop it when it's just exactly even with the floor. Just exactly even. Here I come.
Got enough men over there? That's a fine way to run an elevator, Kelowna. Are you sure you're a member of the Elevator Operators Union?
Am I a member of the Elevator Operators Union? What's the matter? You crazy or something? Why, I'm the vice president in charge of raising and lowering John L. Lewis's eyebrows. Going up. Going up.
Come on, Mr. Marshall. Get the elevator.
After you, Miss Page.
Going up. Step right in, girls. Room for two more. Come on. Room for three more. Come on, girls. Room for four more.
Kelowna, this elevator only has a capacity for 8 people, and with 16 girls squeezed in this way, who knows if the elevator will work?
Frankly, old man, who cares? We're going up. Next stop, 14th floor. Next stop, 14th floor. Silly me. This building only has 12 floors.
What do ladies do to help see victory through? Yes, nurses, waves, and Red Cross workers, we owe much to you. And thank you so much. And thanks for the memories. You've heard your country's call. No task too great or small can stop you or can stop you, for you're out to give your all. And thank you so much. Folks to back up our boys at their station. The Red Cross can use your donation. They ask everyone in our great nation to give and give. Let freedom live. Many thanks to our commanding officer here for this memorial, memorable visit with another great branch of Uncle Sam's fighting machine, the Navy nurses and waves. If a certain paper hanger and a gang of international murders hadn't come along, the young woman here tonight might be fixing a spray of lilacs on the dining room table and making arrangements to help her husband off to work and kids off to school.
Instead, she's making arrangements to help the actress off to the feet. She used to be the blonde nurse in the county hospital, cashier at your favorite restaurant, the secretary to your banker, vice president of the junior league, the model in the cigarette ads, the long-distance operator in New York. But she also happens to be the kind of woman who suffered the birth pains of the newborn nation along a rocky shore of New England. She's the kind of woman who suffered through the agonies of baton. And so here she is tonight, ready to pick up where those other women left off. Very humbly, we'd like to place our deepest respect at the feet of this woman. A woman strong enough to give a son to her country, or to take the place of another woman's son should he fall. Thanks, and good night.
Tighten up.